Welcome to this podcast of sermons from University Christian Church, Disciples of Christ in Fort Worth, Texas. UCC is a community of faith where all are welcome, where we worship in a spirit of togetherness, where we embrace curiosity, community, and compassion. We don't claim to have all the answers, nor do we expect you to check your brain at the door, but rather we gather together to find the courage to engage the scriptures and to ask the big questions about who we are as people of faith, and who God is calling us to be. At UCC, we seek the sacred, commit to love, and empower to serve. And in so doing, we work together to transform the world through Christ's courageous love. My name is Reverend Dr. Russ Peterman, and I'm the senior minister here at UCC, and so most of these sermons are from me. Have you ever been at the end of your rope? I know I have. Maybe you have as well. You go through a time when you just lose all patience, all perseverance, all sense of hope. You just feel overwhelmed, frustrated. You feel disoriented. I spoke with a young mother not too long ago who talked about her son, who is a first grader, that just recently ran outside screaming. He had a terrible temper tantrum. And it wasn't that he was upset about one thing, it was about all of it. About not being able to see his friends, about not being able to go to school, about not having a rhythm, a sense of normalcy in life. He just needed a good cry. And so we ran out into the street, cried. Sometimes it just adds up. It just takes a toll on us. In many ways, that is the collective cry of our country this week. The cries of the protesters, those that took to the streets, many of them in tears. It wasn't just the killing of George Floyd, which was horrific enough, but it's all of those that have been killed, all of those that have felt the knee of injustice on their necks for years. For decades, for generations. It's all of the ways that people of color have been treated, all of the ways that they've been shown to be less than. It's the buildup of the systems of injustice and racism. We saw this week that much of America running into the streets, throwing a temper tantrum, screaming, just needing a good cry. We're all looking for hope right now. We desperately, desperately need hope right now. Hope is what it keeps us going. It gets us up in the morning. Hope is what allows us to suit up, to show up. We can't survive without hope. It's what keeps us from giving up. We all desperately need hope. But when we talk about hope, what is it exactly that we mean? Maybe we need to start there because it has a number of different layers. It can mean something casual, like, I hope it's sunny tomorrow. It could mean, in that sense, sort of a wishful thinking type thing. I really want steak for dinner tonight. I hope we can have that. But the type of hope that we're talking about this morning, the type of hope that we'll be looking at over the next several weeks, is something bigger than that, something deeper. The hope that we are needing, that we're longing for, is much deeper than that. And so I've taken a stab at this, and I want to offer you my working definition of what hope is. And I want you to keep in mind that hope is both a noun and a verb. So as a noun, hope is the conviction that despite one's current circumstances, that the future will, in some meaningful sense, be better than the present. And as a verb, hope is choosing to believe and act as if the future will be better than the present. And I might just add, too, that It's not just choosing to believe. It's not just acting as if things are going to be better, but being willing to work, to partner with God, to help it become better. This is the adverbial form of hope. It's not just something to believe. It's not just something to act on, but to work towards. We looked at one of the Psalms a minute ago, just one of the ones that we could have chosen, because there are all sorts of Psalms of hope in the Scriptures, in part because there were many different reasons, a lot of different circumstances that made the Israelites feel, well, pretty hopeless. Walter Brueggemann is an Old Testament scholar, a scholar of the Hebrew Scriptures. I had the opportunity to study with him when I was working on my doctorate. He's an amazing scholar, a brilliant theologian, and just a wonderful human being. Many believe him to be the preeminent scholar on the Psalms. And I mentioned a moment ago that the Psalms reflect the various seasons in our lives. And Brueggemann says that essentially there are three of those seasons. And those seasons are reflected in the Psalms, and that we find ourselves living in those as well. And he says that we can categorize, we can break down essentially the Psalms into these three different types, into these different seasons of life. The first is what he refers to as orientation. There are those times, those seasons in our lives when things by and large are just going well. Things are relatively settled, they're ordered. We know how life works. It's predictable to an extent. We understand that there is an order and a rhythm to life. We just sort of trust that things are going to go well. Many of us were living in one of those seasons right up until March. Unemployment was low, the stock market was up, consumer confidence was high. There was hope. Things were ordered until they weren't. And so there are orientation psalms. And those psalms reflect order and creation. Psalm 1, for instance, blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord. You can count on that if your delight is in the law of the Lord, that things are going to go well with you right up until the time that they don't. Or Psalm 8, O Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Things are good. Things are great. Things feel settled until they're not. In those times of orientation, life is good. Life is relatively good. These seasons, though, we all know too well, don't last forever. They didn't for Israel. They don't for us. There will be times when things are good for us, but then there will be times when it feels like everything falls apart. It happens for us. It happened for the Israelites as well. They were attacked. There was times of famine. There was times of drought. They went through a pandemic, much like we are going through. They had both natural and national disasters. We know what that's like. In many ways, we are living in one of those times right now. We're dealing with both a natural and a national disaster. When those things happen, we enter into a season of disorientation. Sometimes because of something that we've done or maybe something that we haven't done, but sometimes things just happen to us. Not because of anything that we've done or left undone, sort of like the virus. It just sort of happened to us. Life sometimes just happens to us. And when that happens, we become confused, we become disconnected, we lose faith. We run into the streets, and we cry out to God. Those are the Psalms of disorientation. Take, for example, Psalm 3. Oh Lord, how many are my foes? In other words, I'm being attacked, God. Don't you even care? Or Psalm 13, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How many of us have ever felt forgotten by God, wondered why God is hiding? Or Psalm 22, maybe one of the famous of all the Psalms. My God, why have you forsaken me? It's the very Psalm that Jesus cried out on the cross just before he took his last breath. Almost half of the Psalms are these types of disorientation Psalms. Sometimes we call them laments. When we cry out, there is this deep disappointment. You can't understand why. Why is this happening? Where is this going, God? We've all had times in our lives when it feels like things are just falling apart. In those moments, we look to the Psalms and we find ourselves, in part because they so eloquently express what we are feeling. But what's interesting is that almost every single one of those Psalms of disorientation and lament, there is by the end of the Psalm a but. There is a turn that happens. There's a pivot. There's this turn towards God. Psalm 13 that we talked about, looked at just a second ago. How long, O God, you've forgotten me. You're hiding your face from me. But I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. Now, how does this happen? How does this happen? How does that same person ask, how long will you forget me, O God? How long will you hide your face from me? And then turn and say, but I trust in your unfailing love. Trusting in a deliverance that's not yet seen. I don't know when it's going to happen, O God, but I trust that it will. It may happen immediately. It may take years, but God, I trust. You see, that trust is built on experience. In the past, God, you have saved me, and I trust that you will save me again. Trusting in a deliverance that's not yet seen. Trusting that even if we don't know when it's going to happen, that it will happen again. You see, hope is faith in the midst of darkness. It's faith based on history. It's based on experience. Martin Luther King once said, "Only in the darkness can you see the stars." Based on faith that at some point, King had seen a glimmer of a star, and that was hope for tomorrow. Remember the working definition that I offered, the conviction that despite one's present circumstances, that the future will, in some meaningful sense, be better than the present. You see, for the people of Israel, that hope sustained them. They didn't have evidence that it was going to happen, except that in the past God had delivered them, and surely they believed that God would deliver them again. It was that experience, that history that allowed them to say, I trust in the unfailing love of God, that in that love my heart rejoices. And eventually it came. Sometimes it took weeks or months. Sometimes it took years. But on the other side, they were changed. They were transformed. They were different having walked through that. God redeemed them. God set their feet back on solid ground. And we call these seasons of reorientation. Things have bottomed out, and yet there is new life. There is deliverance. There is hope. in these seasons of reorientation, we see these beautiful psalms written, like the one that Harry read just a moment ago. I put all of my hope in the Lord. You leaned down to me. You heard my cry. You lifted me up out of the pit of death, out of the mud and the mire and the filth. In that season of disorientation, God, I put all of my hope in the Lord, and God, you delivered me, David writes. You can hear the exuberance. You can hear the thanksgiving. You can hear the joy. I was sinking down in the mire and the muck, God. I was depressed and despondent. There was no hope, but God, you delivered me. I put all of my hope in you, and God, you came through. In Hebrew, the language of the Old Testament, the Hebrew of the Psalms, there are three different words for what we oftentimes translate as hope. And here in Psalm 40, the word that is used is kavah. Kavah. Almost all of the words, interestingly enough, for hope can also be translated as to wait. This morning we looked at the CEB, the Common English Bible, what we read from this morning. I put all of my hope in the Lord. But if we look at the NRSV, the New Revised Standard Version, it says this very same psalm, I waited patiently for the Lord. They're the same thing, hope and waiting. Both of them mean choosing to believe and act as if the future will be better than the present. Both require waiting, expectant waiting, believing that the future will, in some meaningful sense, be better than today. I spoke with my friend Verzola Law this last week. She is an African-American pastor, disciples pastor in Dallas. And she was speaking recently with her therapist. And her therapist reached out to her and just says, you know, in the middle of all of this, how are you doing? And Verzola said, you know, to be honest with you, I'm not okay. And her therapist looked at her and said, it's okay to not be okay. But it's not okay to stop there. It's not okay to stay that way. You see, hope is born in seasons of disorientation. Almost all of the passages about hope are born out of a context in which things are going horrible. Yet people choose to believe that the future can be better than the present. Hope is born in disorientation. So have you ever been at the end of your rope? I think all of us have been there. Some of us are there right now. Not too long ago, Kelly and I gathered with some friends for a porch party. Got together with another couple and sat on our front porch, sharing a glass of wine, a little bite to eat. And one of the other couples asked me, Russ, how are you doing? And I put on a hopeful front. I kind of smiled and I said, I'm okay. But then Kelly jumped in and she spoke for me. And she said, actually, he broke down crying three times yesterday. Maybe you've felt that way recently. You've been stuck at home. You've been watching the news. Maybe you've ran into the streets crying like that little boy, like those protesters. Maybe you just needed a good cry. You felt like you were at the end of your rope. You know, I learned something interesting this last week. In studying this scripture and preparing for this sermon, that the word for hope that we talked about a moment ago, kavah, that I looked at the etymology of that word, the history, the roots, where it came from. And originally that word kavah, it meant rope. It meant rope. And so I started to wonder, I started to think, how did rope in Hebrew, kavah, how did rope become hope? How did this rope become expectant waiting, waiting patiently for God? In what sense does rope become hope? And then it struck me. It struck me that in many ways this was painting a picture of the lifeline that God throws to us. That God is reaching down, handing to us, throwing us something to hold on to. That if we just hold on to that rope, if we hold on to that lifeline, that we find that God will deliver us just as God has delivered us in the past. It was Theodore Roosevelt who once said, "When you're at the end of your rope, just tie a knot and hold on." It's good advice, but the bigger question ultimately is this: who's at the other end of your rope? Who is at the other end of your rope? When you have reached the end, who is on the other end? You see, when God is at the other end, when we put our trust in God, when we put our hope in God, we find that God is able to rise us up out of the muck and the mire, to lift us up, to carry us, to put our feet on solid ground. You see, when you put your trust in God, God will sustain you. God will carry you through. God will help you make it through. That God will take this season of disorientation and make something good and beautiful out of it. So maybe you find yourself in one of those seasons when you are at the end of your rope. But if you trust in the Lord, if you put your faith, you put your hope in God, God will lead you into a time of reorientation. That you can live with a sense of hope, with a sense of certainty, with a sense of certainty that tomorrow can be better than today. That the future can be better than the present. God's done it before. God will do it again. Will you pray with me, please? God, how grateful we are for you, for you are our hope. Help us, oh God, to grab hold of that rope, that lifeline that you throw to us. Help us in our despair and our discouragement, in those moments when we cry out and we wonder, God, how long? Help us in those moments to put our trust in you, our hope in you, to remember your steadfast love that has saved us in the past and will save us again. Help us to cling to our faith in you, O God, to know with certainty that you will see us through, that the worst things are never the last things, that in this time of disorientation, that you will redeem it, that you will bring something beautiful out of it. And so, God, we put our trust in you. Help us to wait patiently, to work with you to bring about a better tomorrow, and to be instruments of your hope. Amen. So thanks for listening. I do hope and pray that you found this sermon to be engaging and thoughtful and inspiring and maybe even a little challenging. I also hope that if you get the chance to join us on Sunday mornings in our sanctuary, you will. I think you'll find the welcome warm and inviting, the music inspiring, and there will always be a place at the table for you, regardless of who you are, or where you come from, or where you are on your spiritual journey. Just know that you're welcome here. And if you'd like to support the production of this podcast and the ongoing mission and ministry of UCC, or to simply find out more about this community of faith, we invite you to go to universitychristian.org. Grace and peace to you.